Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam. We have Muggsy Bogues as my co-host. Muggsy, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's a big week, us Hornets fans have been looking forward to for like 9 months. That regular season is back this week. And I don't know, I'm having a tough time containing my excitement.
I mean, this is what I live for this time of year. You know, it came around, even though it came around a little quickly than people expected, considering everybody, bottom being in the bubble and the season just ended. But this is what we all live for, NBA basketball. We're about to see the best of the world competing. And here it is, tomorrow's opening night. I just can't wait.
Oh, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of games. But as a fan, it's going to be excellent. What y'all are listening to is episode 3 of the Believe in Hornets podcast. If you're just joining us now, welcome. Go back and check our first 2 episodes out. We talked about the offseason, the draft, preseason thus far. Now we're talking this upcoming season. So in this episode, we'll get into just overall thoughts on the Hornets, predictions. We'll talk about some NBA league awards, like across the board, and maybe do a little NBA finals preview, like who we feel are coming out of the East and the West, and who we look forward to playing for the Larry O.B. later this year. But a friendly reminder, if you're new or been with us since the beginning, we appreciate you. And if you like what you hear, please feel free to leave us a rating on iTunes, wherever you're listening, because we're on iTunes, we're on Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, Luminary, TuneIn, all everywhere you can find podcasts, basically. Come check us out.
We're anywhere, basically what he's saying. We're anywhere.
Exactly. All right, cool. So season opener, Cleveland, Ohio, Hornets versus the Cavaliers. It's upon us. Before we get into what we'll see, I'm curious to get your opinion, Muggsy, on like, what is the night before feel like? And can you walk us through the day of, like that first game, when you know as a player that first game of the year is tomorrow, and when you wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, this is day one of the grind. Can you walk us through that mindset?
A lot of anxiousness, a lot of anxiety going through the player's mind, because this is what they game for. They train for, pretty much throughout the preseason, even before the preseason, for this moment. And then when that moment arrived, you just can't wait to get to that opponent and showcase what you've been doing throughout, the preseason, training camp, and as a unit, as well as individually. You want to showcase your talent. But that's the excitement, competition, that's what we live for. We want to compete against the best, play against the best. And once we realize, we have success against the best, now we need to be included with the best. And I know the Hornets feeling good about themselves right now. With the new addition of the players that they have with Melo and Gordon Hayward, the excitement is just, off the chart right now. And having some, now played in preseason and having that under their belt right now, I know these guys are really looking forward to how they can now collectively come together, put this thing, a good product out there as a unit, come game one against the Cavaliers.
Yeah, and I don't want to jinx anything, but it's probably, I like that we're playing the Cavaliers in the beginning. It could be a lot worse. I'll say that. All due respect to the Cavs.
But yes.
It could be a lot
worse.
The Cavs
do have a lot of talent over there now. You got Drummond, you got Love, and Fox. So you got some guys that's over there can really get it going. And I'm quite sure now with some of the experience with them, their rookies coming into this now, second year, they gonna feel good about themselves. So NBA is no easy win. Nowhere you go in that arena. So in this game, so Hornets got to come to play.
Yeah, and it's looking like Gordon Hayward may play in the opener, yeah. which is great to see. For a lot of reasons, we could use him, but also that the injury isn't as bad as it could have been, and that he can like get his legs about him, get involved with the team, start gelling because he is new to the franchise. And we can get through those growing pains, get them out of the way, and get that full, like, Gordon Hayward impact we all expect.
Yeah, the injury wasn't as serious as we all, you know, anticipated, but it is on the shooting hand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's on that finger. So that could have some kind of effect. But Gordon is a true professional. You know, he know how to impact the game in multiple ways as opposed to just scoring. So with his presence alone, I think it's going to boost the young guys, give them some kind of confidence going into the game, especially being on the road. And have his veteran leadership is really going to lead and give these guys, as I said, a sense of, you know, secure of confidence where they believe that we all collectively can go ahead and get a win on the road.
Yeah, because this team is very young at its core. The most important players on the team are pretty young. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, having Hayward around and as that veteran on the team to lean on will be really important. So I'm glad to be there. And I'm just like, I want to see how he looks. I think he looked great in the preseason before he got hurt. I want to see him in action when the games count the most. But speaking of preseason,
we all do.
Yeah, for sure. We need him. We definitely need him. Yeah. Hornets finished the preseason 1-4. Got swept by the Raptors. Took one game from the Magic. Lost the second game in the series to the Magic. After like a pretty good performance by Cole Anthony. Like he looked really good.
He really did. I mean, the Hornets losing their first two games against Toronto, then going up there and getting game three in Orlando, and then, you know, taking a dive in game four. I mean, that was, you know, that's sometimes that could be expected. I think that it wasn't so much about the wins and losses. I think it was more so especially as a coaching staff, you know, how we work as a unit. Is the ball moving? How we look defensively? How many turnovers we continue to make on each given night. We got to clean up a lot of areas. So just giving them a perspective of what they need to clean up before the season open up and what type of rotation and who's going to be available for them. So I think that was more important as opposed to wins and losses during the preseason.
Yep. And I like what we saw from Devonte. LaMelo looked really great. Miles, I thought, looked really great. I think, you know, I like PJ Washington a lot. I know people are kind of on his case a little bit after his preseason performances, specifically around his shooting. But I think it's fine. He'll work it out. I'm a huge PJ believer. When the games count, I think he'll be there for us. And just overall, I thought the Hornets did what they needed to do in the preseason to be prepared for this campaign, because things can go. We don't know how things are going to shake out. It's going to be a very weird year. So how do you prepare for like weirdness? Like you really can't. All you can do is just like do your best in that given moment, you know? And I feel like the Hornets did Borrego got the guys ready to do what they need to do this year. And I know I'm biased.
Well, we all are. I mean, you know, the only thing you can control is what you control. And I think the issue with PJ, you know, I think it's preseason, you know, and we got to keep in mind he's a second year player. So, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs still. So we can't just expect him to be, you know, a flat out unmistakable type of player. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he's going to make those mistakes and he's going to grow into the player we all know he can be on a consistent basis. But, you know, preseason, you know, guys are still trying to get their legs underneath themselves, trying to get their conditioning going. So I don't put too much weight in the preseason. Going forward in the regular season, that's what I more or less put a lot of weight in. And I think he's definitely ready. He's going to be ready because he knows that he's been asked to do a lot this year, even though it's his second year, but to play multiple positions, the four and the five. Mm-hmm. And I think as him getting to understand how to take advantage of such, you know, with a bigger guy on me, I think it's going to benefit the Hornets. And I really, you know, looking forward to, you know, the excitement in terms of how Coach JB going to allow these guys to be free to play that type of up-tempo type of basketball. But it's all going to come down how they play on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm. And these first four games are really interesting because we have the Cavs, then the Thunder, like no shots. But after that, we have the Nets and the Mavericks. Like there's a big, I think, leap there from the first two games to the third and fourth game. So that's going to be interesting to watch how the adjustments are made between those different caliber of opponents. I'm not trying to hot take or like send shots to Cavs or Thunder fans. I respect what the Thunder are doing with all those first round picks they have. They're going to be really fun. But the Nets and Mavs, though, we're talking Western East. Like, that could be a finals matchup, depending on how things shake out.
Well, I understand where you're coming from in terms of the Cavs and the Thunder not projected to be the elite teams right now in terms of championship competitiveness. But again, like I say, NBA teams, they have NBA talent. Yep. And NBA talent always are capable of winning on any given night. So regardless of who you're playing, you got to come to play. But in regards to the Nets and what was the other team?
Mavericks.
Nets and the Mavericks, too. Yeah, those are the two teams that we're looking to possibly competing for finals, at least is getting to the Eastern Conference as well as the Western Conference finals. A lot of talent on both sides. Durant coming back. You know, Durant had, you know, a long time off, as people may think, you know, 15 months off. Even though he's coming back from an injury, no one in their rightful mind came back 100% from. But him being back for 15 months off and giving him that extra time, he looked pretty good in preseason. And you know, alongside with Kyrie Irving. So they're going to be ready to play. And with, you know, with Luka, you know, he's feeling it right now.
Yeah.
You know, he believed that he can be the MVP of the league. You know, so that's been feeding into his mind right now. And with Porzingis, you know, being available, you know, when he come back. So it's, you know, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. But Hornets, I like what they're putting together. I like what Coach JB and them doing. So I'm really excited about tomorrow's opening.
Oh, for sure. And like the Nets, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the Nets have Steve Nash in charge with Mike D'Antoni as assistant coach. Like, I want to see that. Like, I'm not sure when the Nets actually play, but us, like, parallel to the Hornets season, I'm checking out the Nets this year. Nets are gonna be one of those teams that I might buy a league pass just for the Nets, basically, is what I'm getting at. So it's cool that we're gonna be playing them so early and we can see them play our guys and see, you know, how our guys stack up against that Brooklyn team. Same with the Mavericks. But this is really cool. That's what's so great about the NBA. Like, teams can evolve so quickly from one year to another, and you don't know what happens. Like, I know I was talking about the Cavs and Thunder. The Cavs may blow everyone's expectations out of the water this year because things can change like that in the NBA versus other American sports where that rebuild, that process can take a couple years. So who knows what we'll see against the Cavs? Like, they may have it on them this year. We don't know.
A lot of things go into play, you know, especially during the season. Injuries, anything can come into play that change the dynamic of, you know, a team's narrative. So, knock on wood, hopefully that ain't the case. And, you know, you're speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, with Steve Nash and, the assistant who he brought on with D'Antoni, you know, they're familiar with each other. So they're going to run a system that they're accustomed to. But it's going to come to the defense then. Then you look up in Philadelphia, you know, with Doc Rivers now being leading those, being a head charge at the realms of the coaching staff up there. Now having Embiid, having someone of Doc Rivers' magnitude, as well with Ben Simmons, you know, that could elevate their game to a whole new level. And here it is. They were stars and, you know, they could be superstars, you know, going forward. With the addition, you know, Seth Curry and Danny Green shooting. So a lot of things can happen, you know, going forward. I mean, with this season, as you mentioned, you go out west, Portland, you know, who knows what can happen with Portland, as well as in Denver, you know, with the Joker and those guys.
So Murray, man.
A lot of dynamics could go on to where other teams could start to evolve where, you know, we didn't expect it. But those teams that we just mentioned, we're expecting them to be there at the end.
Yeah, and like the Lakers, the Clippers, Giannis is staying. So, like, he's got to be going into the season motivated after how the last two postseasons ended for him. Like, then there's the James Harden X factor. Where does he end up? Because whoever lands James Harden is going to be a problem. Like, that team is going up a level with James Harden on board. So there's a lot of stuff to kind of float out.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers and that franchise, I mean, everybody's projected or predicting them to be a repeat. So only thing right now is health concerns that only could derail them from reaching that ultimate goal. Then you got the Clippers over there. So it's a lot of things with the new with the addition of Serge Ibaka. So it's a lot of, you know, things going to happen with and then Phoenix, you know, Chris Paul down in Phoenix.
Yes.
So they're going to put themselves in the mix a little bit. So, you know, interchangeable parts. And it always happened with when a superstar leave one team to go to another. Now that becomes, you know, the changing of the whatever leads you go into, you know, each spectrum. So that's why, you know, players, you know, it determines where they go. It dictates how that franchise, you know, become on that national stage again. And it all about, you know, they all rebuild and they all kind of, you know, do it in different ways. Some do it in free agency, some do it in with the draft. You know, as you mentioned with OKC, you know, with all those draft picks. And some do it with just bringing in free agents, which Brooklyn and Clippers, you know, so they have multiple ways. But I like what the Hornets have done. You know, Hornets have really, you know, created, you know, even though they made the cut today and freed up, got down to the roster while freeing up, about releasing those four players, you know, even though they was non-guaranteed, but those guys will get an opportunity to go down to the G League once they clear waivers. But it cleared up $4 million in cap space. So give them a little bit of flexibility going into the trade with that $4 million and possibility to bring someone in or possibly using it towards a trade. So I like the flexibility. I like the way the direction they all headed in. So it kind of, you know, like I say, every organization, every team have a different way of how they're trying to accomplish their goals. And so, you know, only just what they believe and feel like it could come to a fruition. So I like what the Hornets are doing in the direction that they're headed.
Yeah, well, it feels like there's a real plan in place, which feels good as a fan because, I was never a fan of the process, just tanking for the sake of tanking and then just collecting top picks, because that doesn't seem like a plan to me. And this, what the Hornets have gone through, just really drafting well while remaining, I'm saying competitive. I know the Hornets haven't won a lot of games, but the games that they've lost weren't because these guys weren't trying to win. Like the team played their opponents very hard.
Yes.
While the franchise continues to draft well, and we're seeing the benefits of that with our young core from first round picks and second round picks and through trades, like being viable players today. So that feels good that we're on that path. Speaking of paths, though, do you think the Hornets have a path to the playoffs? So it's a weird thing this year. We have the ninth and 10th seed have a shot now to play into the NBA playoffs. The East isn't as strong as the West, though. If we had to set up last year and no bubble and like no COVID, the Hornets would have been eligible for the play-in game. They finished 10th last year. So my question to you is, like, do you think the Hornets can finish 10th or above and make a run for a playoff spot?
I mean, I never say never. You know, it all depends, again, how healthy everybody stay. If Gordon Hayward can stay healthy pretty much during the season, they really got a legit chance because his presence, his scoring ability, as well as allowing the other guys to do what they do because of the way he's able to impact the game and create his own shot. They have a really good chance. You know, it also depends on, and it's not so much on Melo. Melo, I think they will allow him to come along as he come and grow because you got two dynamic guards over there in Rozier and Devontae Graham who could put the ball in the basket. But ball brings a different element. You know, he passes the basketball. He gets the ball up quickly. And he finds his teammates so he can make guys around you better. So you can use him, you know, even though if he's not shooting the ball well, he can still be utilized in a very impactful way. And, you know, again, the bench play, you know, the bench got to come in and contribute. I like McDaniels. I really like Daniels. McDaniels, you know, he always stay consistent when he comes in. He can stretch the floor. He can stretch the floor. He also could be able to, you know, on the defensive end, be long with that Lamb and the Martin twin, you know, being able to be energized, come in with that, you know, that type of energy and being able to defend as well as get out and score. And then Biz Biyombo, you know, Biz Matt, his presence, you know, yeah. Whatever how many times, you know, the inside presence is going to be key. You know, Cody going to do the intangible things. He got to continue to do that. But Biz Matt got to be that one to protect the rim and be able to give them extra possessions and when needed, to where they can get out that transition. So it's a lot of things got to come into play for them to be able to reach that ultimate goal. But I believe in them. I think it can happen.
Yeah. That's the name of the podcast, Believe in Hornets. Check it out.
Yes.
So I made a YouTube video last week about I think the Hornets will make the playoffs. I think if the bar is at 10, like the 10th seed, they did that last year, and this roster is better. So I think for those reasons alone, they'll make it.
And analytics would say yes.
Yeah, you hope so, surely.
Yeah.
Like I'm believing in Devontae continuing to get better, Miles continuing to get better, PJ, etc. Plus Gordon Hayward's arrival, LaMelo Ball's involvement, and his ability to make other players better. It feels like a lock. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Disclaimer, do not take any betting advice from me. I'm terrible at it. But I'm not going to name any websites, but I've seen on websites out there that the Hornets have been projected to finish like 12th with like 5 wins below the Bulls. And I just feel like that is insane to me. Like I see what the Bulls are doing. I respect what they're doing, but I think this Hornets roster is way more mature than theirs and has way more talent. So I think the Hornets have a little bit of they don't believe in us energy about them, which could be very valuable as this team evolves. Like we've seen in sports, on all sorts of American sports, that like bulletin board material could be good for the locker room and a little extra motivation going into the season and against those tough opponents.
We always consider the underdogs, and that's the nature of, you know, who the Hornets are, and that allows us to be surprising on any given moment because people realize that, you know, hey, these guys are for real. And that's what the Hornets are going to show. You know, they're going to show that they are for real, you know, especially with the coach that they have. You know, it's going to be a merit of him. You know, he believes in, you know, hard nose, being able to compete, contain, and get out and run. And if these guys can continue to understand that philosophy, share the basketball, continue to, you know, think as one, as, you know, as a unit, then everything's going to be fine. And I'm excited for the beginning of it because I know they're excited with the new synergy that's around the team, with the organization, even though there's no fans in the building. But still, it's just the excitement that what has been transpired in terms of all that been done up until this point. So everybody, just get your popcorn. Let's get ready to roll.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm so excited for this. Before we leave here, I want to get your MVP, like, who do you think is going to win MVP and Rookie of the Year?
Well, the MVP, you know, LeBron is going to be in the conversation every time because that's what he brings to the table each and every year. Of course, Giannis won it last year. You had so many couple candidates, you know, Kawhi was in it at one point. Paul George was in it for a minute. But again, you know, Giannis, if it is all, because the criteria is during the regular season.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, Giannis just fills the stat sheets up, you know, with the rebounding, with the block shots and the scoring, steals. You know, he fills those stat sheets up on a regular basis. So it's going to be hard for him to not keep duplicating that. But, you know, I look at Luka over there. Luka right now, he's filming himself. And he believes, again, like I say, the Tweety Bird number in his ear, saying that you this and you that, and not to say he's not, because he's really, boy, I tell you, he put on the performance every time he stepped on the floor, and I love his game. You know, he has that not so quick, that deceptional quickness, but the IQ level is off the chart. And that's what you love about a player who you can see has the game slow down, and you're able to really take advantage and have so much impact on not only for yourself, but for your teammates. And so if I had to say one, I'm going to say Luka. Luka's going to win it. And yeah, as for the – yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say a very real possibility that he can average a triple-double. Like, Luka could do everything offensively. And I think that's a very safe bet. Sorry to cut you off. What's your pick for Rookie of the Year?
But then the Rookie of the Year is always a toss-up because there's always someone come out of the blue that wins it that you know don't even realize. Last year, you know, it was a unanimous between – well, it wasn't unanimous, but it was pretty – well, it was unanimous between the two, Ja and Ja. You know, but Ja didn't play. You know, he was hurt. So Ja went and showcased and showcased what he did. This year, you know, right now, if I can look at it and seeing the opportunities that they will get, the kid Edwards, they need scoring there in Minnesota. Wiseman, he's not going to touch the ball as much because he's more of a, you know, inside presence. Melo can have a really shot at getting it because the ball will be in his hands. It all depends on his consistency. But if I have to pick anybody, you know, Obi Toppin, he's another kid that has potential. But if I would pick anybody, I'm going to say Melo.
Yeah.
Because he will have, again, the opportunity, ball will be in his hand. He's going to get the minutes. And if he stay healthy, the oohs and ahs are going to be there. And no telling how that becomes a perception, you know. So if my money's on it, I'm going to say Melo.
Yeah, same here. He's going to do so many things for the Hornets, and he has all this attention on him. Like, if you just put his numbers in a vacuum, you may not – that player, like, if you take his name away, like, or just looked at his output for the season, he may not get the attention he would deserve for the numbers. But when you just slap LaMelo's name on it, you have sports writers from New York asking him questions in post, like, training camp videos now. Like, this guy has the eyes of the basketball world on him. And I think he's going to perform, and it's going to be noticed. Like, there's a 0% chance anything positive he does goes unnoticed. And I think that makes him the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year. Because I think he'll deserve it, but also he won't go like unnoticed is basically what I'm saying.
Well, that's the key. You know, he got to deserve it. The game got to match the, you know, the celebrity, the, you know, the attention that he's going to get it. Because he's going to get the attention. It's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I still believe, again, with the guards that he has around him with Devontae and T. Rozier, you know, it's going to. Just be him, no pressure, you know, understand. And he's going to have his ups and downs. He's going to have some great nights. Then he's going to have some not so great nights. But the more he can remember those great nights and not even worry about those not so great nights, you know, and that's going to come from the guys around him, giving them that type of positive influence that we don't hang on this, we move on to the next play. And I think that's where he's going to grow up to be that type of player that we all think he can be.
And I want to say, as a former, for those out there, I used to be a news reporter, and I really appreciate his interviews. He's very, when someone asks him a question he clearly doesn't want to answer or doesn't like, he doesn't like no sell it. He answers it. He's very short, succinct. There's nothing to read into. Like he handles that very well. Like someone asked him if he bought Cam Newton's old apartment. You can see the look on his face. He didn't want to talk about where his living arrangements, but he answered it so well that it wasn't going to be a headline afterwards that, oh, LaMelo lashes out or LaMelo shuts down. Like he's super measured in those situations. I think that'll be very handy as he continues on this year and his NBA career. Like whoever was around him that taught him like how to handle the media, like he's handling it now, two thumbs up for me, like killing it.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, that's good to be, you know, to understand that at a young age. And of course, he had a couple guys in front of him that he got a chance to learn from, his brothers. Mm-hmm. So, and then playing overseas and being around professionals to have an opportunity. So, you know, taking, you know, that experience and understanding how to, you know, answer those questions is always going to be huge.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So What about the finals? We talked about the Lakers a little bit. Do you think the Lakers can repeat? Do you see another team slipping in there? Do you see a team from the East coming in and taking the throne?
Well, I mean, I think like everybody has the Lakers repeating. But like I say, anything could pretty much change that. Health is one of them. And that's the only thing you see that's going to derail them from that. But you got a lot of other teams that's going to, you know, not going to say it's going to be that easy to hand it over, because you got Brooklyn from mm-hmm. the East. You got Philly from the East. You got the Clippers from the West. You got Portland, Denver. A lot of these teams are going to be as good, you know. So, and that edge on their shoulders is pretty – it's pretty high right now, and I'm quite sure, especially the Clippers and, you know, the next door neighbors. And so we're going to see. We're going to see, you know, how this all unfolds. You know, Utah, they believe in themselves as well. And, again, Dallas. So it's going to be exciting. It's here now. It's here. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Where it's like it's an early Christmas present.
Yes.
December 23rd. It's here. It's here. We have it back. It's back to us.
It's back. It made it. It finally made it back.
Finally, yes. So that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week on December 30th. We'll be talking NBA basketball. For real. Real NBA basketball. Can you believe it? We made it.
Another knockout. Yeah, we'll be, you know, talk about the X's and the O's and who did this and who did that. And that's another exciting part of it. I love it. I love it.
So much to dig into. So please, if you like what you hear, subscribe, tell a friend. We're talking Hornets basketball all season long. Don't miss a single episode. You'll regret it. But thank you so much for listening to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We'll talk to you soon.
Go Hornets!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.